Well, good morning, and welcome everybody. I was sitting there, and before church started, I said, "You hope you guys got something, because I have a total blank mind this morning." Quite a bit of what Brother Durham was talking about this morning, and dispelling mythology built into Christianity that has become almost mainstream, but a lot of it's mythical, false understanding of the meaning of the scriptures, very limited understanding that many of the delusion. I think that they're even though they're sincere, very delusional doctrine out here in the Christian world. And if you listen to, you can hear anything. A lot of stuff that doesn't, a logical person, it just wouldn't even make sense. For instance, I mean, I've had, Brother Durham was talking about the rapture this morning, and if you asked a lot of the, probably just went out on the street corner, just go outside with the biggest church in town, and as people come out, say, "Hey, I got some questions to ask you. How many times is the rapture mentioned in the Bible?" Right? And they would probably, you know, say the word rapture, and they'd probably all give you all kinds of different answers, ranging from zero to hundreds. And then I had a man I was talking to, and he was just kept talking about Lucifer and Luciferian teachings, and I asked him, I just asked the question, I didn't even try to give him the answer. I just said, "How many times is Lucifer mentioned in the Bible?" Oh, he couldn't answer the question, but yet he knows all about Lucifer and the Luciferians and how, I mean, he got into some weird stuff, man, just talking about all these UFOs you see out there. I said, "Wait a minute, UFOs, not that I seen, because I've never seen one, so don't say I've seen them." He goes, "Well, they're well documented. That's demons from another dimension." You know, "Really?" I said, "Where are you getting this stuff, man? What you been smoking?" "Oh, yeah, that's where demons are. They're in another dimension. They come over here, and that's where alien abductions come from. You know, people that's been abducted by aliens, they've really been possessed by demons, and they took them off into another dimension in their mind." And I'm like, "Man, you just lost all credibility with me." But he, to be in all fairness, he's probably not just one guy that believes that. There's all kinds of stuff out here on TV and the internet proposing these mythological ideas. You know, there's a guy down in Florida that was he's a magician. Now he's a magician. He claims that it's all just sleight of hand. His name is Randy, the Amazing Randy. And he put $1 million reward for anybody that could, you know, speak to the dead, make objects move with their mind. He's had this reward out for 20 or 30 years. Any supernatural capabilities. But you got to go through a test that they designed for you. And he puts his bank, his investment statement right online. They've got over $1 million in their in that account that's set aside for that. And I've heard of him. But we got all these millions of people that are duped from people who can claim they can talk to the dead for you. But they, you know, they're charging people a couple hundred bucks or thousands of dollars to do this chicanery they do, when they could just go down and take a trip to Florida and get a little over $1 million in one setting if it was legit, right? But we got TV shows dedicated to these people who can go in and say, oh, I see somebody, a father figure standing over you, and this, that, and the other. They don't tell you all the research they've done on these people before they came over to see them. We don't know all that. It just looks like this person's got some sort of psychic connection. Well, I am glad to be rooted and grounded in not in something that is mystical or mythological, but something that has substance to it. And that I can be thankful, wake up every day and be thankful. And I'm not going to turn the news on and planes are falling out of the sky and all of a sudden millions of people are gone, you know. I'm not even worried about that. I'm not worried about what's going to happen to me. Am I going to get? Oh, what happens if I get killed on the way to work today? When semi runs over me, or if I start coming down with a terminal illness? I'm not worried about that, because I know that there is a great Father in heaven who created everything and created me. And I'm not going to say, though, that everything's going to work out according to the way nothing's ever going to happen to me. You know, the great men of faith in the Bible, something happened to every one of them. They went through some hard times. They went through tough battles, tough times, every one of them. You can't, I mean, if you got one in there that had a bed of roses in their storyline, just go ahead and tell me about them so I can chalk that one as the one guy, because I don't know of any. The patriarchs in the Bible that didn't have a struggle. And those struggles that they went through all increased their faith, increased their fortitude and their strength, gave them great strength to go through this life. If I had no hope for eternal life, I would still say that the path I have lived has not been wasted. Some people would say, oh, well, I wouldn't even go to church if I didn't believe in eternal life. Or I wouldn't, you know. We had one guy say, well, if I didn't believe in, one guy told my dad one time, he said, oh, he told me. He said, well, I wouldn't even go to church or anything if I didn't believe in a literal burning hell. And I said, well, you're going for all the wrong reasons. Yeah, the Bible says he who seeks his own life shall surely lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake shall surely find it. Did I say that just right? Or did I put my own phraseology in it? You're going for all the wrong reasons. You're trying to... And I guess I'm too much of a here and the now person. I don't think a lot about the past, and I don't think too much about the future. I think about today. What can I do today? What can I do to be a little happier today? Well, I found out something that happiness does not come from selfishness. You just become more miserable the more selfish you are. Did you know that? The more you self-indulge, the more narcissistic you are, the more miserable you become. But the happiest people that I have found is the people who always are in the service of others. And you know, that was what Jesus was trying to teach. You know, he got his disciples down and said, hold on, folks. He said, I want to wash y'all's feet. And he got them out, and they said, oh, no, Lord, I wash your feet. No, you got to let me do this for you. I'm going to wash your feet. Now, that was a custom in the day. You walked around in sandals and on dusty, dirty roads. When you come into the house, you pulled your sandals off and you cleaned your feet. You know, there's either a house servant. If they were too poor to have house servants, then they probably just got, here, let me clean your feet off for you and dry them off. And so that way you come in, we're not tracking in the house and you got clean feet. And that would be fine and dandy. I mean, churches have foot washings today, but it would really be hard to kind of get the picture of what Jesus was trying to do by having a foot washing. But if you wanted to give the whole background, I guess I don't see anything wrong with getting the picture across by doing something like that. I don't think it should become a tradition or a doctrine or something like that. Because I think I'd be one of the guys that the night I'd show up, I'd come in, I'd have a big hole in my sock or something and be embarrassed. So he got them down and he washed their feet. And he did it as an example, the care and the servitude you should have one for another. And it seemed like we've lost a little bit of that, and that we don't really call on each other as much as we should to help one another. But those who that, and I notice the happiest people that I know are always doing something for somebody else. They're always serving, always giving. They're always giving their time. They're always, and they don't do it for recognition or prestige. And they may still be poor. They may not have any money, but they're always doing something for somebody. And they always seem like they have a smile on their face when they do it. I think it was the Lord, he said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, trying to keep up with what the world is doing today is a heavy burden. It's a very, very heavy burden, isn't it? Trying to keep up with the Joneses. I mean, you don't have to. It's not easy to keep up with the Smiths. We ain't got a lot to keep up with. But the Joneses, they got a lot more stuff. And it's hard to keep up with them Joneses. Well, I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't have to try to bring recognition on me. If I could just be a doorkeeper in the house of God, not Brother Oates back there, keeping that door. Yeah. If I could just be a servant with a servant's heart, just a little more. Be concerned about my brothers and sisters. I noticed Brother Bryant was here for breakfast this morning, and then he wasn't here, and then I knew I didn't see Sister Bryant, and I was like, let me ask her grandson what's going on. And I wasn't like, because they were that, they're not here. I was like, Sister Bryant's not here. She's usually pretty sick, you know. Found out her blood pressure is really, really high, and Brother Bryant came in. He wasn't feeling good, and he fixed biscuits and went back home, so we want to pray for them and lift them up. You know, they love serving this church. They love coming in and fixing biscuits in the morning for everybody, and it's something they enjoy doing. And I'm concerned about. I'm concerned Sister Wilkins in here. She's still recuperating. Hopefully she's recuperating. I hope she's not going backwards. And she's wanting to be here. And each one of you, got you people. So with that, let's take prayer requests. Pray for the Bryants. Let's pray for Sister Wilkins. Let's pray for Mom and Dad while they're in the Dominican Republic. Let's pray for those who, I think Sister Weiniger, Caleb, Lynette, and Rachel will be coming home from the campground this evening. Maybe a little rainy, a little wet. Want them to be, pray they have a safe journey. DJ, his back gets fully healed and fused. Sister Elsie, keep remembering your family, okay? Strokes. Talking about Brother Johnson's one? Okay. All right. Pray for Beth. What's her name? Sister Beth. Sister Thompson. Little baby named Parker's got some issues, newborn. And a grandson of her friend, Sister Durham. Pray for Aaron. Okay. Sister Lacey. Sister Wilson, still recovering. Let's remember her. There, you know what? I hope I'm not encroaching here, but it seemed like every time there's a birthday in my family, we get a card from Sister Wilson. And it doesn't look like we're the only ones. I'm seeing some heads nod. There's somebody who likes to lift people's spirits up, Miss Sister Wilson. So let's lift her up before the Lord, and maybe we ought to individually turn the table on her, and she ought to get individual cards from people for them. The get well cards. Yeah, I know that would lift her spirits up. Think about that. The ushers would come forth. We'd receive the offering. We have a song for that too. And we'll stand, take these needs before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Goodness, for the lessons we were taught, your Son, Jesus, O God, we should be the servant, serve you like you've served us, Lord. That the true meaning of joy and fulfillment and contentment is down through loving one another, as He has loved us. Let us learn that lesson, O God. Lift up these needs before you, the ones traveling on the road, Sister Wilkins, Sister Wilson, the ones recovering. Oh God, little baby, Sister Bryant, Sister Smith, going down the road, traveling on the Dominican Republic.
appreciate your good spirit. God, we have, you know, we have an opportunity to feel the Lord. We come to church and reach out to Him. I often think that, you know, we a great opportunity that we have to be able to hear things that we hear, the Word of God that we hear. I was just considering how Jesus came into this world at an early age. He realized the calling on his life, but yet he walked among his family and his Jewish people that, you know, he didn't just boast about anything. He didn't, and he knew who he was, you know, at an early age. You know, you just think, you know, in this day and time, I just, you know, just think about myself, you know, it'd be hard to not brag a little bit or show off. You know, how you've been around kids and get something that somebody else don't have, toys or whatever it may be, you know, and they got that kind of nature about them. They want to show off a little bit. But I don't think that was even in Jesus's nature. He was able to know who he was and walk among people, and they not know who he was. He had to, even his disciples, he would ask them, you know, who do men say that I am, you know? And then he turned around and asked them themselves, you know, ask, who do you say that I am? I get amazed at how that he was able to live in this world. He didn't get antsy about things, you know, you think, well, man, it's, you know, sometimes I think, you know, I've been around this group of people, you know, hearing this message for a long time, and I sometimes in my mind I think, well, you know, and I've seen things prophesied that, you know, didn't happen, but I know I can't get discouraged about it, and I sure don't want to give up. But I wonder about, you know, even, you know, something. But I think of Jesus being in this world, and he didn't, you know, he didn't have other ministers on his level that he could discuss, you know, the things that he knew and he understood. You know, he could just, you know, sometimes I have good fellowship with, you know, some of the brethren, you know, get to talking about things in the Bible be able to discuss some things that we understand, because when you get around, like I was listening to Brother Paul McGowan talking about, he visited one of his aunts. I was anxious this week, he said, and he was talking to her, and she was just what Brother Durham was talking about this morning about, you know, out there in the religious world, they believe that the falling away is, you know, the church is falling away. It's going to fall away. And he was, the very thing that Brother Durham was saying, and Bible said it's more. His aunt told him, said, Paul, the church, that's a great falling away. The church is falling away, you know. And he could, you know, he would like to have told her different, try to help her with that, but he knew he couldn't. And I'm sure you've been around people that you have a better understanding about the Bible, and you see that they don't understand, and you'd like to help them with it. But I was thinking about Jesus. When he was walking on the earth, and you know he ran into all kind of people that didn't understand, you know, what God was doing and what his calling was, and what was going to happen to the Jewish nation. But he couldn't, even his disciple at the time, he couldn't tell them. He said, you're not ready. You know, he knew they weren't ready to hear what was going to happen just down the road, not too far down the road, because he only preached, what, 3 years, 3.5 years? From the time he was 30. So some of the things that he had on his heart that he wanted to tell his disciples, but he couldn't, you know, because they weren't ready to hear it. And I want to say that to help me, because I want to, you know, I don't want to get discouraged. You know, so, you know, we know a lot. I mean, we're loaded with things that we understand and know. But when you get around people, you know, you can't just unload all these things. You know, you can't just tell people. You like to, but you just can't. And that's what, you know, that helped us to not feel too bad, you know, to know that that the day will come, though. And, you know, I've always heard that when you're talking to people about the things of God, if they are hungry, you know, after God, if they're reaching after God, and they're hungry for the things of God, then you feel more like you can talk to them. You know, you can try to, you know, give some of the things that you understand, you know, to try to help somebody else. But if they're not hungry, then you're not going to be able to help them. And that's what I see Jesus. You know, he didn't, you know, like some other people out casting out devils, you know, and his disciples said that Jesus, we ran across some people, they was casting out devils, and we tried to forbade them, you know, stop them, you know. But he said, no, leave them alone, you know. He didn't, you know, he didn't fret about things. He didn't, upset the apple cart. You know, he didn't go and make people stop doing what they were doing. You know, he was a light. To me, he was a light into this world. And I feel like if we have light, you know, the light is understanding and knowledge of the things of God. You know, if we have light in our life, although, you know, and he didn't just answer people questions yes or no. I was thinking about John when his disciples came to Jesus, and John had heard about what was going on, and he sent his disciples to Jesus to talk to him, and they would ask him, say, John want to know, if you are you the one, or should we look for another? And he said, you know, he didn't say, well, I'm the one. You know, he didn't tell him to, yes, I'm the one, go tell him I'm the one. He didn't say that. He told him what was going on. Go tell John the blind is able to see. The eyes are being opened. And the lame, they're receiving strength where they can walk. And you know, he was just telling them that what was happening, you know, around what was going on. And then, you know, that way he would know, you know, something's going on. I wondered about that. Why didn't he just tell them, you know, I'm the guy, you know, I'm the one that you're looking for. But he didn't say that. And I feel like if, you know, he had light in his life, he was walking in it. He was demonstrating it. You know, I feel like that's going to happen in the body of Christ. You know, we have a lot of understanding, a lot of knowledge, but, you know, we're not exactly demonstrating everything that we talk about. You know, but it's going to happen. That's my hope among his people. You know, I mean, I don't see, you know, the blinded eyes open and the lepers being healed and all these things, but we are in the among the people that are working toward that. That's where I look at it. I mean, we are working toward that. We might not be demonstrating like he was. You know, like I said, he didn't go around bragging about everything, but he had the goods. He was able to help people, heal them, and give them what they needed. And I believe that we're among a people that's looking. You know, we're looking for that. We're expecting it. You know, we're living to where we're expecting that to happen in the body of Christ. You know, this is Jesus' body. You know, his people that are learning. It just, you know, we're not there yet. But don't give up, is what I'm saying. Don't give up, you know, because it's going to happen. I want to believe, and that's what I feel like in Jesus' day, a lot of people just didn't believe, you know. That he was running into a lot of unbelief, and people just didn't believe what he was saying, you know, who he was. They didn't believe it. And I feel like today, you know, we that's what we deal with a lot, is unbelief. You know, even in my life, you know, I don't always believe probably what I need to believe. And I want to do that. I want to have faith in what God has said he's going to do. He's going to have a people, you know, in this day that's going to be able to live and have, you know, have the power. You know, that's what we don't have the power. We talk about it, you know, but it's going to happen. That's what I want to do. I want to believe. And I was thinking about, I believe it was Simeon, one of the I believe it was a priest. And when, you know, he worked in the temple, and I don't know, I can't remember if he prayed before, but anyway, when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to have him dedicated or whatever to the temple, and he made a statement about, you know, he didn't want to die until he saw the salvation of Israel. And Jesus was that salvation that he was looking for. And now when he saw him, then he said, you know, he was ready. You know, he said, Lord, you know, I waited. I was waiting for this. You know, sometimes we have to wait for things because God has his time. You know, we have time, but God has his time. And we have to be prepared when God's time is there, when his time is ready. And that's what, you know, when he made that statement, you know, now, you know, that I've seen the salvation of Israel. And I believe, if, you know, we want to have that in our hearts, in our the hope to see God manifested in people, in his people, in the body of Christ. And that's what I live for. That keeps me going, is to know that God is going to do this, you know. It's not going to be man doing it, but it's going to be God that's going to be doing it. And that's what I like about looking, you know, like I say, you know, you can get weary and well doing, you know, you get the, you know, been here a while, you've been in this church a while, and you heard a lot of good messages. You know, we felt the moving of the Spirit, although we're not where we want to be, we're not where we know we're going to have to be, but we're working for God. We're giving what we have. You know, we're doing all that we can do to work for God. And then God has to do the rest of it. You know, we do what we can, and much as we can, much as it lies within us to work for God, to give God, you know, if we can give God our all. And I know how that, you know, you can say that and not do it, but that's what we have to do, is give God our all. I know that, you know, that even in myself, I learned that in the military, that, you know, just because I thought I could do something or I thought I couldn't do something, they proved that I could. So I know that God, it's him that's going to be doing the work. So all I have to do is be willing and have a heart to want to be in God's kingdom and work with him. So I'm thankful today that we are still on a job and we're still working for God and working in his kingdom and among his people. So I'm just glad today that we are still working for God, and God is still working. And you know, I mean, like I said, we just have to work with him. You know, I don't want to get impatient. You think Jesus ever got impatient working with God? You know, he, like I say, was 30 years old before he even really started ministry, you know. And think from 12 to 30, if he knew what he knew at 12 years old, he was talking to the lawyers there, and they was, he was, had them stomped, you know, at 12 years old. So, you know, in between that time, you think, well, you know, he might have said, well, God, you know, turn me loose, Lord, let me do something. But anyway, he had to wait on God, and God had his time. Of course, Jesus understood that. But anyway, but I think about it. How did he feel during some of those times that he was not really preaching like he did after he turned 30? You know, if you thought, you think he might have got a little nervous or anxious or whatever. Somehow I don't think he did. I believe he understood God's plan well enough and God's work well enough to not get fretful or get over anxious and try to just do it before the time that you're supposed to do this. But anyway, that's what I feel like among this people. You know, we just have to wait on God and work with him. And I want to do that. I want to be patient enough to work with God and work with his ministry and you know, keep my heart hungry for God. You know, because still, you know, just because we may not be in a total restored church, there are things that God opens up to us even today. You know, I mean, you can see in the Bible. I'll tell you what, I get thrilled sometimes reading the Bible, things just open up to me and you understand it better. And just to see, you know, get a mindset, because in this world, you know, people, you know, you talk with people, especially in religion, you know, they don't feel like they, you know, they feel like they have what they need. They don't need so much of God. But we know we need God. And we always talk about getting more, you know. I just need more of Jesus. But you get out there, they feel like they don't need any more, you know. And that's a sad state, really. If you think about it, for people to be in, you know, they feel like they have all they need, you know, from God. Isn't that sad? I mean, that's a sad state, because we realize we need more. Not that we are selfish, Brother Mike, we're not selfish that because we need more. But we know we, in order to measure up and live and be what God wants us to be, we're going to have to have more of the Lord, to understand him better, better about what he what he's doing, you know, at the church and the time frame we're living in. Like Brother Mike was saying, you know, it's, you know, we look back at the past and see what went on and how we got to where we are, and we know about the future somewhat, but we're living today. What are we going to do today? You know, we are here, and that's really all we have. They're saying that about money, you know, we money, I'm talking about ready cash. They talk about checks and all these things, but what you need is what you can deal with today. You know, what can I do today? What is God doing today? And that's what that's our greatest concern, is to be looking to God in our time. I can't go back and change the past, and I sure can't. I can look to the future, but there's nothing I can do about tomorrow. Not really. But I can today. I can do, you know, something today. And that's what I want to do. I want to be about, like Jesus said, be about my Father's business today. Today, you know, while it is called today. You know, that's what we have. That's all we have is actually today. You know, we do consider tomorrow, but we only have today. And that's all we can deal with, is what time we have right now. And I'm just thankful to be found serving God, you know, to be found in God's house. You know, I mean, this is a good place. You know, God can give us things, touch our hearts and open our eyes and help us. You know, I'm not out there, you know, I don't, you know, doing some other thing, you know, out in the sports world or whatever, but we're in church. We're serving God. And what better place could you be, you know? We're looking at him and asking him to help us, and he will. I believe God is helping us, and I'm so thankful. I'm just thankful to be here, be among God's people. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. I appreciate everything's been said up to now. Sometimes we get something new. Sometimes we get the old story, don't we? And sometimes it's new to some, and sometimes it's old to the other. So it's, you know, but it's all good either way. It's all good. And I was thinking of how Brother Durham and Bible study this morning was talking about a vision, and then it seemed like the thought is you know, where we're at and where we're going, and I come out of the church I come out of. They had a vision. It was a limited vision, though, wasn't it? Brought you up to a certain point, and you thank God for that. Yes. And so this is a progressive walk, isn't it? Because one thing that we've learned here is that we have a goal to reach, and it's a great challenge, and it's come to the measure of the stature of Christ. You know, and that's a great thing to reach for, isn't it? And then one thing we've learned here is that it's attainable. It's doable. It's not just some, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and everything, you know, you see Superman and stuff like that. Man, I sure wish I could fly, yeah. You know, under my own, you know, power, you know, not by plane and stuff like that. But see, that wasn't doable, was it? That was just wantable, you know. You know, you just wanted to, you know, you see those things, and of course that's part of man's imagination and things, but there are some things that's going to be doable. I was thinking of the, you know, someone mentioned church history, and as we've been taught, we believe the church, you know, went into the wilderness, conditioned. I'm sure it was in God's plan, and it had to be that way because of the condition of the world, but regardless of how I think about that or what it was, that's what happened. You know, the church lost some of the truths through various reasons, we know that happened because we get down to the dark ages and there was not much knowledge. Matter of fact, there's a picture of that where I think it was it Elisha or Elijah? I get them mixed up. Were fed by the ravens, wasn't they? One of them. Okay, but you know, that was a picture of that prominent ministry at that time, or we're feeding the people of God what little bit they got, you know, and that was a kind of a type and shadow. God started moving on the men. They started getting different revelations. And then there were a lot of things that were happening. We call them reformers, one was Martin Luther, wasn't it? He was kind of a major player in the what we recognize as church history, and he found some things wrong with the church at that time, the Catholic Church or Universal Church, whatever they called it back in, and he wrote his what they call it 95 theses on the church in Germany. Wittenberg or wherever it was, and And it caused him a lot of trouble, didn't it? Well, after a while, then the people of the powers that be of the religious order that time didn't like that, did they? They got after him. After a while, you know, he was trying to reform the church. He wasn't trying to create his own, you know, deal there at first. But you know, after a while, they run him off, didn't they? Got after him, you know. And so that's what we know as the Lutheran Church, you know. And I think his "A Just Shall Live by Faith" was his big platform, and made some other things, you know. And then in the process of time, Martin Luther died off the scene, and you know, and the Lutheran Church become more prominent and got more, you know, inertia behind it, and we're moving on. And here come along some people called the Anabaptists. And so, you know, they start. And about this time, Martin Luther done went off the scene. You know, their leader had done gone, you know. And so it seems like that once that happens, people kind of, you know, their seeking for truth kind of diminishes somewhat. They kind of get around that, and that's it. You know, this is our gospel right now. We like it. It's what we got right here. We're going to keep it, and don't you touch it, you know. Well, here come the Anabaptists, and they start teaching water baptism by immersion. Oh, my God, we can't sprinkle no more. A new revelation. How about that? Well, then those Lutherans, what did they do? They start persecuting Anabaptists, did they? Killing them, you know. I mean, you know. And so they got a revelation, but they didn't have the whole thing, did they? Because their works proved otherwise. Come on down the road, people started getting more civilized, didn't they? You know, had the Wesley boys. They start teaching certain things, and I'm sure they suffered some rejection. And I don't hear of them getting martyred or anything, and I don't know all the history of all that, but they did. I'm sure they suffered, you know, you're outcast, you know. Well, they had to bear their reproach, didn't they? Yeah, they had to. That's what happens. These churches had to go without the camp and bear their reproach, don't they? And to continue on with that revelation. And I think their platform was holiness or hell, you know. And they, you know, someone said Martin Luther restored the gate, and the Wesley's boys, I think they restored the laver or something, or one part of it, or the altar. And then we rock on along here, and here we come with the Pentecostal movement, isn't it? And y'all probably know the history. I'm just getting that short story version, you know, because I know you. I'm speaking to the choir here. Y'all know it better than I do. You know, the Topeka, Kansas, I believe that's where that started at, and it spread all over the United States. The revelation of the receiving the Holy Ghost was evidence of speaking in tongues. And that was a great revelation. And then during that time, there's other people that come up with different revelations and different things that happened. And they all suffered in some form. You know, what happened was the world became more civilized, and we kept killing people, didn't we? I mean, we might have, and quit doing that. Well, that's a lot of reasons why we've got organizations today, isn't it? So we can have our own little thing and go with that. And, you know, one thing I've learned since I've been here is that this people, as slow as it is sometimes that we think, and that they've kept an open mind, didn't it? And sought to find truth, you know. And I know there's been battles and among this people even. But there's a balancing, a balance that comes to this, and it was one of the first lessons I learned. When I first came here, it was one of the first lessons I learned that brought balance. And that's the first, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, isn't it? You know, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have all knowledge and understand all mysteries and have not charity, you know, I'm it profit me nothing and those things like that. So with that, we keep balance, don't we? We have the Word of God. We understand that the Word of God, as important as it is, that we still got to have the love of God in our hearts. Or we'll become just like, we'll bottleneck this thing up and do the same thing, won't we? Because we're just human. And unless we keep that in mind, those checks and balances, and still have a zeal for the truth, you know, realizing that the last word hasn't been said, has it? There's still more for us to receive. Yes. And keep that attitude. Aren't you glad that you can come to a church that has taught that? Yes. That has taught that, you know, even though we do receive truth and we you know, I'm telling you quite honestly, I felt like I was a notch above some people out here, you know. I mean, I know y'all are humble. Y'all don't feel that, you know. I thought. I thought I was a notch above people out there. Well, thank God he has those tests and trials and those humbling processes that we realize that we're nothing. And that, you know, the only reason I know what I know is because God gave it to me. Nothing to brag about. No bragging rights here, are there? Because it's just by the mercy and grace of God that we know what we know, we have what we have, and we're allowed to see what we see. But with that, we still have to maintain. You still have to, even with that kind of knowledge, knowing that we got to be humble, and we got to do those things contained in the Word of God, that we still have to have a desire and a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, don't we? And seek truth. Seek those things. I was just reading, we was talking about light, you know, and you know that we seek these things. We want to have more understanding and knowledge in our life, don't we? And that's our goal, and doing that and seeking that, we receive it and become more like Christ, don't we? Yes. So we kind of see, even though as slow going as it is, we kind of see that, hey, there is we're making forward progress, aren't we? I believe that. I believe we're making forward progress. Yes, amen. And so, you know, the thought comes, well, keep doing what you're doing, you know. And because you know, you can only know what you know when you know it. But you keep going, you keep seeking, you know. And I thought, you know, along with 1 Corinthians 13, that great instruction that we received there. The message of charity that God, I was reading, and you know, we talk about light. Light is when we can see, and otherwise we're in darkness. And we know that we see a light, but we also know we see we also see darkness in ourselves, don't we? But that's good. That's good so that we can repent, find a place of repentance finally through prayer, through studying the Word of God, and let things be brought to light. And then John said in the first chapter of 1 John, said, he that hateth his brother is in darkness. I kind of think he had 1 Corinthians in mind. I thought he had Paul's teachings about when he said that, you know. Oh, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, and have not the love of God in my heart, I am nothing. So there are checks and balances to what we're doing, isn't there? Thank God for it. We can receive the Word of God and still at the same time love all God's people, can't we? I'm thankful to be here.
Time you feel unworthy, so you know what's in your own life, and a lot of times you feel unworthy to get up before God's people. But I guess I thought that if any of us waited until we felt worthy, nobody would ever get up. We never get up and sing, so we're all unworthy, but we're all blessed and we're all counted worthy, even though we're unworthy. And I just wanted to stand tonight today and tell the Lord how thankful I am for all he's done for me and the things he's brought me through and brought us through. And I don't really have a whole lot to bring to the table and this time, but I always think about, you know, how I relate so much to my dogs and to dogs in general. And I remember that, you know, years ago, Brother Watson came and stayed at my house. And I don't know how many of y'all remember BB, my big black lab. Weighed about 120, 130 pounds. He was a big, big dog. And he walked in one day, and Brother Watson was sitting there at the kitchen table, and B walked in, and Brother Watson's eating breakfast, had some bacon, and B's sitting there looking at him, and Brother Watson goes, "You want a piece of bacon, B?" And B goes, "Buh." And he opened up his mouth when he did, four golf balls. That's how big that dog was. If he could hold four golf balls in his mouth closed, and just sit there and look at you. And I remember Brother Watson jumping, but I remember Brother Watson, taught that afternoon. He came to church that Sunday, and I wish I had a copy of the message where he talked about how we should serve God like BB. Because BB was so into it. I mean, you got a ball out. Oh, it was the end of the world. His world revolved around making me happy or making whoever. I mean, that's what he, and I think about it now when I pull up in the driveway and my little dog Max, his thing is all he wants to do is ride from the bottom of the driveway to the top of the driveway. He's so glad. And he hears my car coming down the road, and here comes Max. And I like to run over him half the time. I have to let him in the car. All he wants to do is go up the driveway. And once he gets up to the top of the driveway, he's ready to get out and go do his thing. But I think about how I should be that appreciative and that glad. I mean, I should be that glad to see God or to have God. You know, a lot of times we look at God as God's waiting to whack me. God's just waiting for me to mess up. You know, I know if, you know, I mess up, you know, God's watching. But God loves me. And God loves us. And he wants what's best for us. And it's like we want what's best for our kids. You know, the Bible says, a lot of times I think about it, and I remember, I can't remember if it was Brother Liniger or Brother Smith said this, but said, God remembers the iniquities of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. And if God is a just God and a fair God, he remembers the good that your ancestors have laid up. And I think about that I've got some grace laid up for me, and I want to keep laying up grace. But I'm thankful for what we have here. You know, when you go, you hear other ministers speak, and mainly when you feel other people's spirits and this and that, you know, you start to realize what we have here. And I realize that, you know, I could sit there and point fingers and say we take it for granted, and I have to point that finger at myself. I take it for granted. And I'm thankful, not thankful that I take it for granted, but I'm thankful that sometimes I can see that, and I can appreciate, you know, what we have here. You know, and not just here, but throughout the body of Christ. When I see, you know, when I think about there's a network, and a lot of times it's knowing that there's people in other churches that, and all over the United States, that if I was to fail, that would affect them. When it, you know, what would it be if you hurt, you know, a brother that you think highly of that you haven't seen in 5 years, and all of a sudden you hear that brother so-and-so has fell by the wayside? It's going to affect you. Well, that's what I look at if I was to fall. A lot of times when you start feeling down and feel like your contribution doesn't matter, just you don't think about how it's almost like the ripple effect. If any of us is to fall, that's just another, it's another like a weak link in the armor. We're not doing this necessarily for ourselves. We're doing this, we owe this. We owe this to those that have gone before us, but we owe it to those that are coming after us to stay strong. And I appreciate what God is doing for us. Yes.
Thank you.
God. Well, let's. Are we gonna have a band practice? Okay, but do you want to have a band practice? Or just tell me. What about choir? Are we doing choir today? Okay. Okay, so band practice at 3 and choir practice at... Choir practice at 3 and band practice at 4. Got it. Is all the youth band going to be able to get back here by 3? I don't see a hand one, brother, out there raised up. Oh, Brother Painter said their youth band will be here, so... And Anthony raised his hand. 3 o'clock youth band, then. Or beginner band. All right. We'll see y'all back here then. Brother Pryor's got a fiery message, he said. No, he didn't say nothing. But he'll be in charge of service tonight. He's maybe, and let's say something to get him fired up. get him fired up. He'll go home and get his batteries charged up and ready to go tonight. All right. Well, so be careful if you're going home. We've got a little slick roads and rain and all that stuff. So we'll see y'all tonight.